Next weekend, we will celebrate with parades and parties and fireworks, not only our country's 240th birthday, but also the precious gift of freedom, the freedom for which our nation's founders were willing to give their all. In the words of the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And some of the words that inspired our nation's founders we just heard read aloud this morning. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Our freedom, our liberty, is a precious gift of God. A gift that no one can take from us unless we willingly hand our freedom over and allow ourselves to become slaves. Slaves to our endless attempts to make ourselves right with God by our own efforts, by our own attempts to perfectly and completely obey all of God's laws. Jesus set us free from this enslavement to the law by perfectly fulfilling the law himself for us through his obedience to his heavenly Father, through his suffering and death on the cross. All our sins, all of our failures to live up to God's high standards, all of them have been nailed to his cross forever. And once we have been joined to his death in baptism, his life, Jesus' own life of perfect willing obedience to his Father, becomes our life as well. It's not an unattainable goal for us to strive towards and never manage to reach, but instead a gift that is given, the life of Christ living in us. Jesus accomplishing his will, the Father's perfect will, in us and through us. Ah, freedom. You know, when I was a boy, I could hardly wait to be a grown-up, because I knew that when I grew up, I could stay up as long as I wanted to at night. Nobody could make me go to school in the morning. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't even have to go to school anymore. I could eat whatever I wanted to eat. No one could make me finish the vegetables on my plate. Matter of fact, I didn't even have to eat vegetables once I was grown up. When I was grown up, I would be completely free. I could write my own ticket. I could make my own rules. Ah, life would be good once I was free. But now that I'm adult, I look back at the days of my childhood as the days when I was really free. Free from all the burdens and all the worries and responsibilities of adulthood. See, freedom looks a lot different depending on where you're standing. Well, in today's second lesson, Paul talks about two very different kinds of freedom. The freedom of the flesh, our old sinful self-centered nature, and the true freedom, the freedom of the Spirit, the freedom that is ours as baptized children of God. When I'm living out of my old sinful self, what Paul often refers to as the flesh, freedom means kind of like what I thought it meant when I was a child. It means that I get to do what I want with my life. To think whatever I want to think, to say whatever I want to say, to go wherever I want to go, to do what I want to do, to be with whoever I want to be with. I'm the one in charge of my life. I call the shots. Now, I may choose to seek help and advice from others. If I'm religiously inclined, I may even choose to seek some advice from God. But it's up to me what advice I choose to follow or not. I am the center of my personal universe. Everything else moves around me. I share the throne of my life with no one. That's freedom. Or is it? In fact, that kind of freedom, although it often calls itself freedom, is in fact the worst kind of slavery. Throwing away our true freedom in Christ, exchanging it to become slaves of our own selfish nature. Slaves of our own impulses and desires. What begins as a free choice to live life on my own terms soon becomes an addiction. An addiction that sinks its claws into my soul and will not let go. Eugene Peterson describes that kind of life very well in his translation of a few of the verses that we just read in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an inability to love or to be loved, divided homes and divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I have warned you, you know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Now the good news, and thank God there is good news, is that we don't have to live this way. We are free, yes, to throw away our freedom in Christ and exchange it for a life lived only for ourselves, but thank God we don't have to. We are also free to live the other way, to live in the freedom of the Spirit. Through God's gift of love, constantly nourished and sustained, we find true and lasting freedom by choosing each moment of our lives to serve as Jesus served, to love as Jesus loved, to live as Jesus lived. Now, it's not easy, and it does require a conscious choice, moment by moment. And there are powers out there that don't want us to go that way. Paul tells us about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. But with God's help, as God continues to nourish us through word and sacrament, through scripture and prayer, we have the freedom. And as we live in the struggle, seeking to live fully in the freedom of the Spirit, without quite knowing how we got there, we find ourselves living in a brand new universe. A universe where I am no longer at the center, but where God, God's love, God's will is at the center. A universe where God is now seated on the throne that I used to occupy. And instead of our will being here at the center and God's will being something out there that we may or may not choose to follow, now in this new universe, God's will is at the center of everything, at the center of our hearts and our lives. And our lives then become a reflection, an echo, a joyous yes to the God whose love continues to surround us and empower us. And life then becomes a garden, a beautiful garden where the Spirit grows the best kind of fruit, love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, generosity, where the Spirit grows faithfulness, in gentleness and self-control. Each one of you has received a fruit of the Spirit, and what I would like you to do is to take that fruit with you, that little slip of paper, and keep it somewhere where you'll see it regularly, and put that fruit in your mind. Keep it in your mind, whether it's patience or self-control, love, gentleness. Reflect on that fruit every day. In your prayers, ask God's Holy Spirit to grow and nourish that fruit in your life. And I'm going to ask you to do that for the rest of the summer, for the next couple of months. Just keep that fruit of the Spirit before you. Ask God's Spirit to nurture that fruit in you. And see what happens. See what happens. Amen.